Unity was the biggest engine in video games in the world, used by over 61% of developers. It was the go-to for indies, but also giants like Pokemon Go and Call of Duty Mobile, and it was beloved. Yet, after one decision, their customers all turned on them. How did Unity destroy decades of trust in a single moment? The strangest part of all of this is how unexpected it was. If you don't know what Unity is, it's a game engine. There are a few popular engines, but Unity was beloved, not just because it was good, but because it supported its customers. There's a wide range of things Unity has going for it. It supports both 2D and 3D, but also supports VR and AR games. And as a bonus, it uses C# as a language, which many people prefer to say C++. This made Unity very accessible. Pretty much anything you had in mind, you could make in Unity. It's extremely user-friendly, and you can do a surprising amount with very little code. But perhaps what helped Unity the most was cross-platform deployment. The engine has been around since 2005, and at that time, most engines were built for a single platform or console, but not Unity. With Unity, it's build once, deploy everywhere, which is huge. A huge amount of work in development isn't just building a game, but optimizing it for other platforms. Not a huge problem for those just building for, say, Steam or a single console. But imagine you want your game on iPhone, Android, Windows, Mac, or the many consoles. You'd have to rebuild most of your game each time, and worse, troubleshoot separately. But Unity was one of the first to change this. Create and code once, then deploy it everywhere. Of course, it isn't magic and you still have to tweak and optimize your game for each platform, but Unity helped make cross-platform games a reality. This is less of a selling point now, as other engines like Unreal can also do this, but Unity was one of the first, and this cost something else. Possibly the best part about Unity was the support. Not only is the asset store gigantic, but there's a huge abundance of tutorials and guides on just about anything you'd ever need. Building a game is much, much more than just sitting and writing code. If you have an idea but don't know how to execute, you'll likely go seek out tutorials or guides, and Unity had lots of them. The community around Unity was unmatched, yet it still gets better, which brings us to the pricing. For the vast majority of users, Unity was free. That's right, free. Those earning under $200,000 a year were able to use a personal license, and those above paid a premium price per seat, about $185 a month or $3,000 a year. But those were only for the top earners. If you wanted to try learning Unity and making games, you could. It was the perfect funnel, and it helped Unity become the standard. Yet, behind the scenes, there was a problem. Unity's revenue was growing, but their income, not so much. Unity was losing money, and lots of it. In 2021, Unity lost $530 million. Then in 2022, that grew to $880 million. What was going on? Even stranger was that as Unity made more revenue, they lost more money. Why was Unity losing so much money? When you look at how Unity tried to squeeze more out of its users, it's not hard to think about the entire industry that quietly makes money off you by selling your personal data, which is why I'm excited to talk about today's sponsor, Incogni. Incogni is a personal data removal service that hunts down your info on people's search sites, data brokers, and other sketchy directories, then gets it removed for you. It sends ongoing removal requests to hundreds of these companies, keeps following up, and is independently verified by Deloitte, so you know it actually does what it claims. After someone somehow got hold of my card and blasted a bunch of Facebook ads on it, I went down a full-on cleanup rabbit hole. I kept finding these random sites with my name, old addresses, and emails I had forgotten even existed. Trying to manually opt out was painful. Every site had its own process. Some wanted forms, some wanted IDs, and some did not let you opt out at all. That exposed data is what fuels robocalls, phishing attempts, creepy spam, and full-on identity theft. Incogni takes the annoying stuff off your plate. You create an account, give them just enough info to find your profiles, authorize them once, and they handle the rest. If your data pops up again later, they go back and remove it again. With their unlimited plan, you can even send specific links for custom removals, so a privacy specialist can get those taken down too. There is also a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can see how much they can remove from the web with zero risk. Take your personal data back with Incogni. Use code LOGICALLYANSWERED at the link below and get 60% off an annual plan at incogni.com/logicallyanswered. Thank you to Incogni for supporting our videos. It may look like Unity was dying, but that's not the full story. Unity was trying to scale rapidly. They had a massive vision, and much of that came from their CEO, John Ricciatiello. In 2021, Unity acquired Weta Digital's tech tools division for $1.625 billion. This was the New Zealand studio that helped create Avatar, Marvel films, Game of Thrones, and of course, Lord of the Rings. They also began hiring rapidly and pouring millions into R&D. They shifted their focus from just games to everything. Not just tools, but analytics, Unity ads, SDKs, cloud hosting, all kinds of new divisions to make money. So, what was their plan? In their 2021 earnings release, John said, "We believe that the transition from linear 2D to interactive real-time 3D presents a massive growth opportunity for the next decades." In short, Unity wanted to expand outwards and dominate not just games, but the whole ecosystem. An engine for filmmaking, games, AR, and VR. This made sense given that another giant engine, Unreal, was being used for filmmaking as well. But Unity was still losing money. And their CEO didn't say next years, he said decades. It would take a while to see returns. So to achieve their grand vision, they needed a new source of revenue, or rather, a way to increase existing revenue. And that brings us back to video games. Unity realized their core audience was under-monetized, at least to a certain extent. Their competitor, Unreal, moved to a royalty model in 2015, requiring 5% on gross revenue if your product passes $1 million in revenue. Unity, on the other hand, was largely fixed. Whether a developer did just okay or amazing didn't really change the amount Unity got. So they decided to change it. On September 12, 2023, Unity made a drastic change to their pricing, the runtime fee. Starting on January 1, 2024, if a developer's product crossed $200,000 in revenue and 200,000 installs, Unity would charge 20 cents per game install. This model was very unusual, and to everyone, a huge shock. Why would Unity do this? Unity said that this was to better balance the value exchange. "We want to make more money so that we can continue to invest in the engine," they said. Yet this strange model had all kinds of problems. Some games may only just cross the revenue threshold but have far more installs. For example, demos or free-to-play games. So if you got a million installs and your revenue is stuck at 200k, you gotta pay for all of those installs in total. I see no developer being happy with this. Stranger still was how installs would even be tracked. Unity said it would use its own proprietary data model, but was very vague on the details. Fees would be applied if the same end user installs a title on another device, like on both Steam and the Steam Deck. Developers were confused and frantically trying to figure out how this would affect them, but it gets worse. Unity also decided that the threshold would be applied retroactively. So they would count installs and past revenue to assess whether you'd have to pay a fee. If you signed up and built a game under the old terms and license and shipped a game, this would now arbitrarily count towards a new threshold, which of course you'd have to pay up. And game engines aren't something you can change easily. If you've built something in Unity and you want to change to, say, Unreal Engine, you'll need to rebuild it from the ground up. If Unity dropped this bombshell now, what was stopping them from raising the price per install later? But Unity wasn't prepared for what happened next, as they were about to get a harsh reality check. forums, communities, and social media everywhere began to blow up. Developers were panicking, angry, confused, and trying to make sense of this change. Many were unsure if this retroactive change would bankrupt them, and all the anger was pointed at Unity. Even major developers and studios began demanding answers. Innersloth, who made Among Us, said, "This would harm not only us, but fellow game studios of all budgets and sizes. If this goes through, we'd delay content and features our players actually want to port our games elsewhere." AgroCrab, who made the viral game Peak, said, "This decision puts us and countless other studios in a position where we might not be able to justify using Unity for our future titles." Matt Wood, who worked on iconic games such as Half-Life 2, Portal 2, CSGO, and Left 4 Dead, said, "Yeah, this will absolutely be the last Unity game from me, 100%. David Szymanski, who made Iron Lung, said, "I would be fascinated to know what legal ground they think they're on trying this BS. Maybe it's finally time to drop Unity." And, of course, behind the developers were their fans and customers. They were cheering them on and adding fuel to the fire. The media picked up on it, which made things even worse, and Unity quickly realized they made an error. On the same day of the announcement, Unity's share price dropped 8%. They scrambled to clarify things, saying it would only be the first install that counted, which was contrary to their initial statement, but it was only the beginning. This went a lot deeper than just backlash and bad PR. Megacrit, who made Slay the Spire, announced that, "Despite the immense amount of time and effort our team has already poured into development on our new title, we will be migrating to a new engine unless the changes are completely reverted and TOS protections are put in place." Developers all realized it was time to drop Unity. Many began calling for all of the leadership to step down, including John Riccitiello. One of the biggest responses came from Gary Newman, creator of Rust and Garry's Mod, which respectively have 20 million and 25 million sales each. "It hurts because we didn't agree to this. We used the engine because you pay up front and then you ship your product. We weren't told this was going to happen. We weren't warned. We weren't consulted. We've paid them every year, and now they changed the rules. Unity has shown its power. We can see what they can and are willing to do. You can't unring that bell. Rust 2 definitely won't be a Unity game." Unity's biggest, highest paying customers were all leaving. Just 10 days since the announcement, Unity had lost 19% of its value. And in a panic, they went into damage control. Unity then walked back parts of the plan, saying that no game with less than $1 million in annual revenue will be subject to the fee. But it was too little, too late. Interest in other engines like Godot and Unreal were spiking. It was an exodus from Unity. Then, at last, John Riccitiello, CEO and board chairman, announced his immediate resignation. But Unity wouldn't turn a corner for a while. In the aftermath, Unity's revenue began to decline for the first time in years. In January 2024, the company cut 25% of staff, or about 1,800 jobs, the biggest layoff they've ever done. It was a company reset, according to the interim CEO. Then, later that year, Unity completely scrapped the runtime fee pricing and returned to a seat-based subscription model. Of course, there was an 8% price increase to Pro and Enterprise plans, but that at least was somewhat expected. It had all been for nothing. What makes this even stranger is the way they did this. Enterprise software often follows the Pareto principle. 20% of customers produce 80% of revenue. So companies treat those customers like royalty as they pay the most. These customers are called whales. But sometimes in enterprise software, companies will try to price out small customers to focus on these whales, called a Pareto shift. Atlassian killed a cheap server license and pushed all users toward a cloud or data center model, which had a minimum seat size of 500 users. Google Maps changed their API integration so small websites and hobbyists couldn't afford it. Slack changed their free model so instead of storing the past 10,000 messages, it was only 90 days to push teams towards premium. But Unity did something a bit different. Instead of cutting low-value customers who cost you lots of overhead and catering to whales, they vastly priced up their already successful customers. So those whales were squeezed harder, while small developers were essentially unaffected. Unity themselves said this, only 10% of developers would be affected, but that 10% is part of the 20% who are making 80% of the revenue, and now they're leaving. Unlike Unity, this channel is growing. We're working towards 1 million subscribers. If you've found value from our videos but haven't subscribed yet, I would really appreciate it if you did. Unity broke the biggest rule of business. Don't annoy your biggest customers. Adobe is also learning this lesson the hard way. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.